Hey, I'm Brody Brazil, and welcome to Teal Town After Dark.
Well, welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to what could be the essentially penultimate game of the Sharks 2018-2019 season here on Teal Town After Dark. We're here to be your therapy people. That's what it is. So welcome in for the game four post game as Eric, the graphic wonderkin over here, is trying to get his act together. There we go. Or maybe we don't. I don't know. And why am I hearing an echo now? All right. Be a part of the show. Multiple ways to hook up with us, chat with us, the Sharks fans, in the YouTube chat, on the page, or on the app. Hashtag TealTownUSA. Follow us on Twitter and all the social media places. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, YouTube, Spotify. We're all over the place. So this was not a great one. We're not going to lie. This was garbage. This was garbage on so many different levels. So let's just start off at the very beginning after we go through and say hi to our panel for this evening. Al Martinet.
Well, that game certainly sucked. This is probably one of the worst Sharks efforts of the season. Game four, you could have had the back to 2-2 going back to game five, but across the board, bad effort.
And Eric Kura.
I'll echo what Al Martinet says. I think the team that lost 71 games had a little more heart than what we saw in the third period tonight. This team needs to show up and they need to get back to their game plan of being a fast skating puck possession team and not be a goon squad. And I don't know if it's something about sending messages or whatnot, but you need to get your act together quickly and fast because it's about damn time that the best team in Sharks history on paper actually shows up. And yeah, I know there's injuries. I know there's a lot of stuff, but you guys have a hell of a lot of heart. So freaking show up on Thursday night.
And Rocket Backhander.
Hi, good evening, everyone. It's Rocket Backhander. How we doing, kids?
Wow. Eric was so pissed off, he got up and left. All right, so we will start a minute 11 into this. EK65, not your best game, sir. You would flub the puck at the blue line, and it would end up going the other way, basically nearly a two-on-one. And Pat Chiaretti from Stone starts things off, and again, we're back to, oh, let's make it 10 out of 18 games where the Sharks give up the first goal in the first 5 minutes versus Vegas. If you want to talk about the Sharks being inconsistent, that's the one thing they're consistent at.
Yay.
Yes, yay. Mm-hmm. Then we would turn it into a parade to the penalty box. 304, Tuck would trip Nyquist. 452, Kane would slash Stone. 736, Braun would trip Reeves. 855, Eakin interferes with Sorensen. Wrapped up in a nice, tidy little bow at 1406, where Theodore would slash Donskoy. At the very least, Donskoy drew two penalties for coming for his work, his effort here in his first game of the postseason for the 2019 campaign. Anyway, for me, that first period after the parade to the penalty box kind of calmed down, I felt like the Sharks were actually getting a lot of chances. I thought they were doing very well keeping the puck in the offensive zone. At one point, they were out shooting Vegas by a 3-1 margin. It was that part you had to give a lot of respect for. And you thought, okay, you know what? Keep that momentum going. There's been a couple times that you haven't had some puck luck, but you've been really close, especially Hurdle and Couture. And then 19-13, Theodore went between Burns and Dillon. And as I tweeted, I've gone through subway turnstiles that offered more resistance to get through than Burns and Dillon at that particular spot. So, just a really funny one. When it's really funny in the chat, I got to go to it. AJ, does the room you're sitting in just piss you off every April?
It's pretty good.
That's a good dude. You know what? This one's for you. That one's for you. Okay, Al, you were saying?
I was going to say the shots were 18 in favor of the Sharks. Vegas had only 7. I felt the 2 goals that Jones gave up, especially the first one, wide open in front of the net. No one was screening him. A minute and 11 early in the game. Vegas is primarily, they claw the neutral zone, create turnovers. I mean, you're just kind of feeding into their whole defensive strategy, getting the goal or allowing them to have the first goal of the game so early into the game. And this is the Sharks' fault. It's not the refs' fault. I saw on Twitter, it's the Sharks' fault. Just defensive miscues the past 3 games.
Rocket, your thoughts on the first period?
Well, it could have been a lot worse. I think it could have been a lot better, but it could have been a lot worse. I didn't feel that the tempo the Sharks were taking was necessarily a bad one, but I didn't feel like they were as focused as they should have been. A little sloppy.
Well, go ahead, Al.
I was going to say, I thought the offense was there. I thought they were creating chances. But because Donskoy wasn't there for the past 3 games, you know, there was that great chance when Hurdle had the puck and he didn't really pass it to Donskoy, who was wide open in front of the net. The chemistry just hasn't been there for all 4 lines. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of been the issue.
I have to go back and disagree with you, Al, on that first goal. I'm looking at the replay, and as most of you should know or normally know, you can find replays, the GIFs on our timeline at Teal Town USA on Twitter. Going back, no, that shot had to get through 2 people before Jones saw it. It was a seeing eye shot. The second goal, the Theodore goal, yeah, that's one Jones needed to have. That was pretty much empty. Again, Burns and Dylan, especially Burns. I don't know what the hell you're doing there, man. Trying to poke check it like you think you're Fleury versus Kane or something. That was bad. It was bad. So, like Al pointed out, I mean, the shots on goal for the Sharks through the first period, I mean, this Fleury, you know, he played well. The Sharks didn't get some great puck luck because some shots were getting through. You saw one, Donskoy at one point puts the puck right through Fleury's 5 hole. Unfortunately, the angle was just, you know, it goes a little bit the other way. But halfway through the third at 12:33, Patches puts in a puck that basically, it was a shot on goal. Dell with the big flash of the leather thinks he has it, and it popped out, and it just, of course, again, puck luck, ends up right on Pacioretty's stick. Boom, it goes in, and now we're 3-0. And the Vegas Golden Knights now have 3 goals on 12 shots. And at this point, it's starting to go, okay, this is, you know, it's looking like the Sharks are going to come back to SAP Center, Al, you know, down 3-1.
Yeah, the Pacioretty goal was the first one by Dell, who was pulled, or who replaced Jones in the second period, which was kind of past the point where I thought Dell should have probably started tonight's game. But I don't know what you do with game 5. I guess, do you ride Jones and see what happens? Or do you kind of just say, we're going to go with the better goaltender who has played fewer games this season?
That's one for the coaching staff to figure out. It should be interesting to see whether we see Jones or Dell at this point. I kind of lean towards what you're saying is at this point, Jones has not done well in 3 games. You look at it, 11 goals on 54 shots with a 796 save percentage. This Yay. Is not the playoff Jones that we're used to, who I believe the previous 3 seasons averaged somewhere in the 920s. So this is, I mean, I guess you do have to go with Dell. I mean, honestly, I don't know what other choice you have if you're PDB.
I mean, last year, the Washington Capitals did start their backup, and then Holpe came in for the round 2 against the Pittsburgh Penguins. So there is a precedent for that to happen, but not for the elimination game. It's normally 2-2 or 2-3. I everywhere I kind of look for this, they did not. The Sharks deserve to be in the position they've been in, 1-3. There's 3-1 in favor of Vegas. Costly penalties, stupid suspensions. Joe Thornton didn't play tonight because of that questionable hit. It was a pretty stupid hit that he did away from the action. And I think there might be another suspension for Kane because, once again, was away from the action. Just stupid penalties.
Yeah. Well, I see it coming up in the chat. Look, I understand you guys are frustrated, but I'm telling you right now, there is no hell. There's just no way in hell that Cornash or Bebo are getting called up and playing, not Stoneridge. Anybody, there is no one on the Sharks that is going to be starting a goal whose name is not Jones or Dell come game 5. Okay.
Or so Andy.
This is what we get for not getting Peter Budaj.
Oh, Peter, Ryan Miller. List goes on and on. Anyway. There was talk at one point, the Sharks looking at Bobrovsky. So
six Pomeranians in a training suit.
It's whatever, but the fact of the matter is, let's just put all of that to bed.
Let's put Natty be a net. How about that? He can he's a goaltender coach. He can just jump right into the NHL level. He can still do it.
Hey, there's that even that small contingent of fans that want to put Couture sack in goal because that one stops goals. You know, I'm just saying. So. On the Pacioretty goal, that did come on the power play after Dylan high-sticked Miller. Again, not a great game for Dylan tonight. The entire Sharks D was I don't even know what was going on. The only thing you can say is, like, the guys that the Sharks rely on the least, Heed and Ryan, I thought actually did a serviceable job. I didn't notice them making stupid mistakes tonight like I did with Burns and Dylan and EK65. It's just unbelievable. I thought Heed and Ryan played, one of the best games that they've been able to play. And now, when we get to it, we'll get to it with the time on ice and everything. But yeah. Still, it's not like their asses were stapled to the bench like we've seen Ryan in game one where he got like 318. So anyway, 13:36 of the second, Carrier would trip Donskoy. Nothing came of it. And you think, okay, well, 3-0. We've seen the Sharks tie up a 3-0 game before. Saw that in game 2 at the end of the first period. So maybe that can happen again. However, 3:06 into the third, Pavelski would interfere with Stone. Nothing really comes of that. 6:37, Tuck absolutely pylon EK65. If there was not a play to illustrate the fact, like if there were any doubters as to EK65 not having some type of an injury, that should have like eliminated those doubts within a flash.
Really didn't look like he had any kind of speed tonight.
Oh, it was just unbelievable pylonage. That's a new word for me.
This is his fifth game back, so from the injury, and
I don't care because the thing is, he's starting. If he's saying that he's okay to go, then play. If you're injured, get off the goddamn ice.
No, I agree with you, but I'm just talking about fatigue, playoff hockey. But in game one, he did take a nasty hit. It was kind of like a hip check, and he hasn't really been the same player. He seems like he's kind of lost his speed. He was pretty good in game one, I thought, but game two, game three, just not the same player.
He's been abysmal. And again, numbers don't lie, people. He's been on the ice for more goals against than Martin Jones. Okay.
I will say this, though, that Timo hasn't been on the ice as much as we thought he would have. He's only played 11 minutes tonight.
I'm talking about EK65, dude.
But I'm just talking about Timo and just in general, this entire Sharks roster.
Let me know when you change the subject, man.
Whatever. Like, honestly, there's something going on with Timo. There's something going on with that
other guy.
Vlasic.
That one dude.
Yeah. This team is banged up more than they're talking about. And give Heed and Ryan a lot of credit because they play well tonight, but our top six are not healthy right now.
Well, yeah, dude, so many people you can tell are banged up. Couture, Pavelski, clearly EK65. I mean, everybody's dealing with stuff. So, I mean, whatever. Tuck off Schmidt and Pacioretty. That makes it 4-0. And then at 9:20, Kane plays right into the hands of Vegas. He loses his shit, picks up 2-2-10. Selfish play. Look, I get it. You get frustrated. You're down 4-0. You're chirping back and forth with Reeves. You know, you've already lost two consecutive games. You've already had it with the back and forth with Reeves. And you allow Vegas to get into your head yet again. And you fell for it. And you got thrown. And and the way things are going, it wouldn't surprise me if he gets a game for that, the way that was going. I mean, the way things are going. Hell, I'd be surprised if Pavelski didn't get a hearing for his hit behind the net on, what was that, Stone, I believe? So,
I mean, he won't get it.
That was sarcasm, but still.
Yeah.
Apparently, I'm getting a hearing. I don't know what for, but they want me to be there in person, so it must be pretty severe.
Yes, absolutely. 11:54, the third. This is some next level talent from Timo Meier. Picks up an unsportsmanlike call when he's not even on the ice. I don't know what he said, but that must have been some next level chirping from one Mr. Meier.
He gets it from Vlasic.
Oh, dude, Vlasic is pretty good with the chirps. 15-12, Goodrow would go off for holding Reeves. That would lead to a goal on the power play from Jonathan Marceschaw. Schmidt and Smith pick up the assist there. And that's the way this one kind of shakes out. Let's get into the numbers, kids. But before we do, I want to welcome the 107 of you guys watching live right now. We thank you very much for doing so. Welcome in. If you're new here, please do us a favor, support the show, hit that little subscribe button. I never know where they put it, but I know it's right down there somewhere. It's nice and red with white letters. Hit the subscribe button if you would, please. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram, both of them at TealTownUSA, and you can find all of our fun content on our website at TealTownUSA.com. But please spread the word. We go live after every single Sharks game. And we also throw in some other fun stuff from here and there. We did a nice interview with Ted Ramey last evening. And I know we have some other stuff planned for the future. Would have been fun to get, get Douglas Murray on the phone during one period this evening. But anyway.
the memes are priceless for that.
Oh, man. I'm telling you. We see you, Jonathan Becker, Douglas Murray. Let's get into the numbers, guys. 28-27 in favor of the Sharks for shots on goal. So at least it wasn't the 40 allowed in game three. They limited the Golden Knights' opportunities for getting rubber on the goaltender. However, y'all lost the circle yet again, 54-46. And again, we go back to special teams. You got 4 opportunities on the power play tonight, Sharks, and you wasted every single one of them. You had some good looks, I'm not going to lie. That second power play tonight in the first period, you had some really great looks, couldn't bury it. Golden Knights got 9 opportunities on the power play. That's on you, Sharks. Yeah. And they converted 2 of them, the Knights did. 38 penalty minutes to the Golden Knights' 8 penalty minutes. You are playing in to Vegas's plan. Golden Knights out, hit the Sharks 54-37. They blocked more, 20-12. Giveaways were nothing, 3-2 in favor of the Sharks. Big whoop. So, a couple other things of note. Al alluded to it earlier. You know, there was no Vlasic in this game. There was no Michael Haley. That might be addition by subtraction. And there was no Joe Thornton, which, and boy, you think he's raring to go? Because think about it, guys. I mean, Rocket, the game that will occur on Thursday, there is the opportunity. I think it's very low. I think it's very minimal. I don't think Thornton wants to go out like this, but this could in fact be Joe Thornton's last game in Teal.
Yeah, it could be. That's the reality of it. It could also be the last game of the Sharks season this year. Yeah, like it's a reality. you have to accept that it might be a reality. I hope it isn't. Because, you know, like, he doesn't, how can I, he might just want to, you know, hang up the skates and retire. He might not, but by God, he doesn't look like he's suffering out there. Like, he still looks like he's genuinely having a good time. And he can still turn the Jets on, man. I love him.
That's what I'm saying. I would love to see Thornton back one more year. You know, I was skeptical a couple seasons ago. I was kind of like, well, with the knees and everything, you know, and the age, and oh boy, I don't know. I think maybe Thornton should have hung it up a couple seasons ago. But boy, you look at what he's done with you know, we're not seeing the jumbo of old when it comes to time on ice, of course, because, you know, that he's playing essentially third line now. And the fact that he's has embraced and accepted that role and is doing what he can to make LeBanc and Sorensen better, you have to love Thornton for that.
Yeah, so, but, you know, I mean, I think as a professional athlete coming to the end of his career, I think he understands his role in the journey. And I think that as he comes back to, you know, thinking about the guys who were in the locker room when he was young and how long they've been in the league, you know, how the kind of stories and the things that they would say, I wonder if he thinks in his mind about how at the point he is in his career now, he's beginning to finally relate to the people that were in the locker room when he was young, you know, because he's finally taken their place. It's the circle of the NHL. It's like a puck, but it's,
Well, you can get.
Plus, everybody in the chat saying, I'm sorry to interrupt, did you? But plus, everybody in the chat saying that Thornton's like ancient. And you have to remember, he's, oh gosh, I think he's 2 years younger than I am. So stuff it. Okay. Stuff it.
Wow. If you look at the time on ice tonight, it was actually pretty balanced. Radil, of course, getting the short end of the stick, slotting in his first ever NHL playoff appearance with only 8 minutes. But the rest of it, pretty. Oh, man. Nice job, Christian. The $2 donation helping us out, needing the refund fund for Jones Bobblehead Night. I like it.
There's a lamp on in here. It just got shady.
Man, that's nice. And we also go to the goalie numbers, too. Again, tonight, 714. Good for 796 across there. That's. 796 Jones has done in the last three games. Arendelle tonight, 850. So proving again that, okay, you can sit there and say that both goalies suck, but I also think it. Oh, really, VGK? Wow. You can say that both goalies. <bud. laughs> You can say they both suck, but you know what though? I think this really is a bigger call to the defense. And you think about this. This is the best on paper defense the Sharks have ever iced. And I don't know if Doug Wilson overcompensated for 2016, saying, you know what, we needed, if we would have had that one speedy defender, if we would have had a little more speed, a scotch more offense, we would have had it in 2016. And I feel like Doug Wilson, that's what he was trying to address rather than trying to, I don't know, find the absolute stud of a shutdown guy. And it, you know, kind of backfired.
It wasn't. It just did. For me, it was more or less the league went more speed forward depth. And I like getting Erik Karlsson. I think it was a great move getting Erik Karlsson, but the chemistry never really fit. Vlasic always had to be with Braun, and Dylan had to be with Karlsson because that's the pairing that worked best. But Karlsson was out majority of the year. He played like what, 40 games? So,
and
I don't know.
They lost Simic. They lost Burns's Whisperer, and then all the wheels fell off of the D. So,
that really was the key. You look at their record after they lost Simic. Did it? They lost like 6 games in a row.
Yep.
And how is it that you lose one guy? Who, if you look at it depth-wise, I mean, you're thinking, you know, okay, Burns is one, and Vlasic's two, and EK's three, and Dylan's four. You're talking about you lost a 5-6 defenseman, and he was, like, that impact was that widely felt.
But that's the reason why we held on to Paul Martin for a season. Okay, two seasons longer than we should have, because he was so detrimental to Brent Burns' success.
Well, it's that, but the fact that Schimmick plays defense. Erik Karlsson plays offense.
Ooh.
Okay. So, oh man. All right. Just keep bringing it, guys, in the chat. I love it right now, Christian. So, I mean, we're coming back. The Sharks are coming back to SAP on Thursday. 7 o'clock start for those of you who weren't sure, because they did announce it. I don't know what to expect from this team other than an insanely fired up Joe Thornton. Boy is going to be rested, and he's probably going to be looking for something. I guess if you're, Nosek, maybe you watch out. But other than that, I don't know. I just don't know. It would be funny if the game gets, and I'm not advocating this. I'm just saying, if for some reason the Sharks are down 4-0 and there's 5 minutes left, if Thornton decides to put Reeves on a stretcher, it wouldn't surprise me. I'm not advocating for it. I'm just saying at this point, I don't know what is going to happen. This team is so damn unpredictable right now. I mean, this is a team that literally started January winning 7 games, February won 5 games straight, March won 6 games straight, and then just backed in to the postseason. It's just, I don't know where you go.
Do you think the Sharks play differently? Well, of course, does the series shape up differently if the Sharks score the first goal, past 3 games? Because game one was pretty competitive all the way through the first 3 periods, but the last 3 games, it's just been Vegas.
Well, see, I take umbrage with that. Vegas for me completely owned the Sharks in game 3. That's undeniable.
Yes.
But in game 2, though, I think it comes down to 2 things. Like, it comes down to the Sharks not converting on their power play opportunities. They had 8. I think they went 1 for 8 in that game. The other thing too, I go back to the 2-goal swing that Coach talked about, where Couture gets his goal taken away, and we can sit there and debate that all day long, that Fleury was out of his crease. Okay, his skates were out. He came out and Couture was slightly nut. It was barely a tap. He wasn't like pushed into Fleury, but either way, I still think taking that goal away was a little suspect. The thing that cost them more, though, is the fact that they called Couture for goalie interference, which I thought was an absolute bullshit call when you consider that Fleury was, in fact, out of the crease. So I thought that was just an absolutely crap call. But it was a two-way swing, because they take a goal away from the Sharks, and then Vegas scores on their power play. And I think that just kind of sucked the life off the bench a little bit. And I don't know that the Sharks have been able to recover since then. You look at it. They really haven't. So,
I don't know. Just like for game 3, letting in the first period goals or the first minute goals back to back to back, that was kind of the breaking point.
Well, yeah, you take away those 3 goals, it's a tie game. But you can't let those in.
Yeah, but in game 2, they lost Couture and Vlasic. And Couture... or Vlasic has still not come back, and we don't know what's going on. Concussion, but it's what we suspect, kind of. But
and what happened? They still got down 3-0 and came back and tied that in the first period. And and then they could have had the lead in that game if that ridiculous call. But it wasn't the official's fault. I don't know how many times I have to say that. Maybe I need to get a shirt or something that says "We're not blaming the refs." We're not blaming the refs. The refs didn't make the Sharks go 1 for 8 on the power play.
Hey.
Yes, we do have the best logo and colors of all. So, but yeah, the officials didn't make the Sharks go 1 for 8 on the power play. They didn't make them go 0 for 4 tonight on the power play. So it is what it is, even though I hate that saying. You get what you pay for. I go back to, again, tonight. Or EK65 completely flubbing the puck on his own blue line, and boom, 2 seconds later, it's behind Jones. Then later at the end of the pit, and that was to start the game. And of course, that you, and let's be honest, these guys are human. You, after what happened in game three, where you kept on letting in a goal in the first minute of three consecutive periods, and then a minute 11 seconds into the night, you let in a goal to start the game. And it's just kind of, it has to get into your mind at some point where it's like, we cannot get the lead against these guys.
No, you're absolutely right.
And then EK and, or no, I'm sorry, Burns and Dylan getting absolutely pylonned in the final minute of the first tonight. Just unreal.
I mean, I do want to give Vegas credit, though. Fleury's been playing fantastic the past three games.
Dude, the Stastny, Stone, Pacioretty line, I have never seen a single line own the Sharks in the playoff series like this ever. Never.
You know why I think Vegas' system works so well against San Jose is I think that this system was intended as wasn't designed from a coaching standpoint. It was designed from a player standpoint. I don't understand. I don't really know how else to explain it, but it's like the players, this system is tough to beat because it's something that the players believe in their hearts and it's something that they can all do together and be on the same page. And that makes you think that it comes from a player's point of view and not from a coach's vision that they're all trying to get on the same page with.
Yeah.
And you talk about the talent together and you bring them from other teams and you know, they're just garbage in other teams and you bring them together and they're just like, so whatever they're doing, man, it's like, they're just having little black magic ceremonies and burning sticks at midnight. This is what happens.
The main story of this playoffs is that teams coming together at the last minute and essentially carrying the way through. You got Columbus, you got Duchesne, you got those talents coming together last minute. You got Vegas, their last 10 games ended the season. They were below 500, just like the Sharks, but very much coming together at last minute. I mean, the Pacioretty Stone line didn't work out until they faced the Sharks. And the Sharks have had struggled with speed all year.
But see, the converse argument to that, though, is Anaheim going 9-1 over their final 10 last season, killing it and then getting swept by the Sharks.
Sharks fan 27 in the chat asks, what moves and changes do you see happening after this season?
Well, I was going to say, I would have said before this series, I would have said, well, Dell's probably going to get moved. But
Dell's gone.
Yeah, no, I think Dell's gone. I think Donskoy is gone. We don't know. Let's be honest, it all hinges on EK65. If they sign him, you know it's going to be for Signet. He's going to want Drew Doughty money. He's going to want Brent Burns money. So if you sign him, that limits Doug Wilson as to what else he can do. You know that Doug Wilson loves his vets. You know he's going to offer Joe Thornton probably a season for, I don't know, 3.5 or 4 mil and hope that he takes it and that he wants to stay and go one more season. But he's still got to do Pavelski, who has had like the best career that he's like had as a Shark. You still got to get Timo Meier back in-house. I mean, there are some key pieces.
For me, it's not Erik Karlsson, it's Timo. Because if he asks for more than hurdle money, which I'm kind of bracketing in getting that type of contract, if he asks for more than that, then what do you do with Pavelski? What do you do with all your other talent coming up?
I can't see Meier getting hurdle money. I just can't.
The only reason he'll get that is because the cap will continue to go up. And so the hurdle deal is pretty valuable for the Sharks because you're going to get five years. I think it was 3 or 5 years. I need to go to cap friendly, but it's a pretty cap friendly deal for the Sharks.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if Timo signs a similar bridge deal that Hurdle did. Maybe he signs a 2-year deal that like, you know, 3 or something like that for 2 years. And then he gets some bigger money because by then, you know, there might be some other guys that are off the books. Remember, there's also the case of Seattle comes in And yeah. Who knows who San Jose is going to make available in that. It wouldn't surprise me if they make a Mark Edward Vlasic available.
Or a Jones.
Or a Evander Kane.
No, Kane's been pretty consistent. I like Couture, I like Kane.
I'm just saying look at the numbers and everything, and you don't. The other thing, too, is that Kane has been consistent, but we haven't seen, you know, in a shark sweater for any length of time whatsoever, Ryan Merkley, Sasha Shemlevsky, or Ivan Chekovic. And there are other, the Blickfeld. I mean, there are other people down below that we haven't even seen, and we don't know the impact that they could have in 3 years and potentially make an Evander Kane expendable.
Yeah,
you'll go ahead, Rocket.
I was gonna say, Martin Jones is the only one on the team with a ring.
Don't.
Please don't. Stop. Just stop.
That's gonna play into his contract money. You know how it is.
Well,
the backup goaltender.
Yeah.
Good for you.
And now I see a comment that says 65 is worth the money. Did you forget December through January he was carrying the team? Well, first off,
it's April.
Yeah, it's April. And again, I go back to the whole thing of like, if EK65 is injured, get off the damn ice. You are more of a detriment to this team. I will take 100% Middleton over a 50% EK65. I don't care how talented the guy is. The numbers don't lie. He's been on the ice for like 10 of 13 goals against. It's
ridiculous. Stop.
Yeah, it's just the numbers are not bearing that out. Do you really want a glass defenseman right now? I mean, it seems like ever since that groin injury, he tried to come back. It doesn't work. He tried to come back again. Well, I sat a lot longer. Oh, okay, I feel great. I come in. Then you take one hit in game one, and all of a sudden you're not the same player. So it's honestly, I'm just kind of, you know what, EK, I understand there are people that like EK65, and if that's your bag, that's your bag. Hey, there are certain players that I like that probably other people didn't like at all. Mark Smith, one of my all-time favorite players. Some people don't even know who the hell the guy was, but he's one of my favorites. But EK65, for me, I'm fine letting him go and taking just for the sake of taking that money, because he's going to get minimum $8 million. Minimum, because that's what Brent Burns has.
I would say minimum's probably 10. The Drew Doughty deal is probably what he's aiming for.
No, I get that. And that's what I'm saying. If he's aiming for 10, I think that money is better spent in other places.
I've been saying that all season. Like, you can't devote that much, let's say 40% or even 50% of your cap to your decor.
And you talk about the Drew Doughty deal. Look at how messed up LA is right now.
I mean, they were the same position the Sharks are right now. They were trying to go for one more run at the cup, and they just fell apart.
Things are so bad for LA that T-Mac is the light at the end of their tunnel.
Yeah. I mean, you've got that core of, Quick and Kopitar and Doughty and, I don't know, Toffoli. I mean, there are some pieces there, but it's a small group and it's an aging group. So, good luck to you, T-Mac. You join Daryl Sutter and being like the one guy that I can know that has coached three different teams in the Pacific, all of bizarrely ending in LA for some reason. But what about the Doug Wilson situation? Is he gone also? No way in hell is an owner going to get rid of a guy who has delivered you a team that has made the postseason 15 of the last 16 seasons. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Now, the coaching staff, and I don't think it's DeBoer, because DeBoer got an extension last summer. Do we see Boogie back? Bob Bugner, does he return? Do we see Steve Spott moved out? Do we see Rob Zettler moved out? Do we see Johan Hedberg moved out? Hi-yo. I think we see, what is this?
No, not you. I think he's talking about Erik Karlsson.
Oh, I gotcha. So anyway, no, Doug isn't going anywhere. But the coaching staff, on the other hand, aside from PDB, that would not surprise me if that gets shaken up. Remember, we're talking about a coaching staff back at the beginning of December that was reconfigured. It was the Dave Barr, who was the coach up of the eye in the sky, was brought out of the sky, and other, you know, like Rob Zettler's moved here and Steve Spott's taken off of this place and put over here. They completely did everything. Oh, don't you worry. We're going to get Drew Amendo on here quite soon. But he's taking, or they've jumbled the coaching staff like PDB jumbles the lines. I feel like we're going to see some coaching changes in the offseason, because you're not going to move Martin Jones. He's got 5 years left on a six-year deal. He's not going anywhere, okay? So, you know, I mean, what are you going to do with the coaches, Rocket?
Well, I think we should all hit the go-karts and do a couple laps. And what else?
And then curling.
And then go bowling. And then have pizza.
Bocce ball. Bocce ball.
Pizza. And then all watch Steel Magnolias together.
Yes.
Nah, man. I don't look. Coaching has been an issue all year, and coaching has been, like, the performance of this team inconsistent. There have been some teams in which it has been readily apparent that they've been able to get across their ideas to this team in a way that made coherent sense to the boys. They were able to, you know, go out, perform, destroy. And there's others where it feels like they just phoned it in. It feels like they didn't actually watch that much video of the other team. It feels like they didn't really take that many notes on their opponent. It feels like when it came to the meetings and everything, they just sort of phoned it in. Yeah, you know, this Chicago team or whatever, it's always just been the same club. Don't worry about it this year, boys. Blah, blah, blah. Just keep it to the outside. Who wants a snack? Like, it's I don't feel like the work was there from coaching, and I feel like they were a problem. And I don't know, like, if coaching is supposed to light a fire under the players' asses, who's there to light a fire under the coaches' asses? GM?
Yeah. Well, I go back to the beginning of December where they had that players-only meeting with the coach, and then the same thing with the general manager, Doug, you know, Dougie. So we'll see what happens. Roy Sommer if Roy Sommer hasn't, like, taken his own bench in the NHL in the last 20 years, it's just not going to happen. He clearly enjoys developing kids.
Yep.
That's his deal. You know, I don't know who else. Coach Q has found a gig in Florida.
Boogie?
You know,
Boogie should come back.
You know, maybe maybe that's something you can look at, is that you bring Bugner back and let PDB play out another season of his deal. And at least if for some reason, say that the Sharks start next season and they start okay, they're doing all right or whatever, and then they get into one of their lulls like they tend to have, and they drop 7, 8, 9 in a row. Then if Boogie's part of the squad, you could very easily use PDB as a scapegoat and install Bugner, because, hey, he was just a head coach himself for a few seasons.
Yep.
So you could use that as a scapegoat. But no, Patrick Waugh not coming here. Wayne Gretzky, not the new bench boss. Not going to happen. So that's, you know, when it comes to the front office, and again, this it's funny. Our friend Gen X pointed this out back in 2016. He said, when you hire, again, numbers don't lie, people. Mm-hmm. When you hire PDB, he gives you one good season. And it's the first season he's with your franchise. And it never gets better than that. History is proving Gen X absolutely correct.
He wasn't wrong.
He was not. And I agree with Rob that Nabby should be the next goaltending coach. Let's look at the numbers that Antoine Bibeau and Joseph Cornosh have put up. And let's look at the numbers Dellen Jones has put up. I think maybe Navi should be promoted from the CUDA to the Sharks. Just saying. Just saying.
Yeah.
So, again, we move on to Game 5 on Thursday. Hello. It's the, you know, it's do or die. Win or go home. So don't think that Vegas isn't going to want to wrap this up and be the first ones out of the Western Conference to be chilling out, waiting for their next opponent. They're going to be fired up. And again, if the Sharks keep falling into their plans, it's going to be a relatively quick game. If the Sharks don't allow a goal in the first 5 minutes of this, I firmly believe we will hear sarcastic applause inside of SAP Center. And I just don't know what you do at this point. I'm assuming we're going to see the lines return to what they were in game three, with the exception of Haley. You know, I think Thornton comes back and Pavelski go, you know, all the lines return to that, but maybe we see Donskoy remain while Haley's out. Maybe we see Vlasic return, since, I mean, who knows? I don't understand how the Sharks have said just nada, zilch, zero about Marc-Edouard Vlasic. That I don't get.
He's been abducted by aliens, and they're not allowed to talk about it or tell the FBI or get anybody else involved.
It's like, dude,
the ransom.
Like, yeah, is he like at some like Church of Teal lighting candles for his soul, shoulder or his concussion or whatever it might have been? I don't know. it's just kind of like, what is going on? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. And could you imagine if for some reason, I mean, I'm not going to go full blown conspiracy theory here, but if his career, I mean, who knows? You don't know what he sustained.
Yeah.
But you know, for someone that you have on the books for like another 7 years, that's huge. We got X Chris in the chat saying, don't normally watch VGK post game streams, but I always watch this channel after VGK San Jose. Impressive. Love your show and how you guys break down the whole game. And you know what? To hear that from the opposing fan, very much appreciate that. I want to let everybody know Curtis, Devin, and Brody are off the air now. So if you're just now joining us, thank you for tuning in and joining us. Again, as always, if you would please hit wherever it is, the subscribe button, if you would please, we'd really appreciate that. Want to grow the channel organically. That's the key there. We're organic here. We ain't shady.
No pesticides.
So we're doing that, and follow us on Twitter where we throw up game gifts, every play, any fun things that we might notice during a game broadcast. You can see it all on our timeline at Teal Town USA on Twitter and on Instagram every game day with our pregame reports and other fun stuff. Oh, there you go. Good job, Christian. Welcome in. And we welcome in the VGK fans. As long as we all respect each other, it's all good. It's all good. So again, looking forward, we'll see how PDB deploys the lines with the return of Joe, and I'm assuming Haley will still be out. I mean, I still go back to the Haley puck off of his ankle. If you go back and look at that replay, I'm telling you, he tweaked his leg about a half a second before the puck actually hit him. I don't know if it's the shot so much as he tweaked a knee or tweaked something just before that puck hit him.
Yeah, that's very, very true. This whole team.
Any other fun things in the chat?
Nah, not really. People are curious about where Jones is. There are speculations that Jones is getting a lap dance in the champagne room.
Oh.
That Jones left to find his game. I personally think that he went back to the hotel to catch up on Game of Thrones.
I don't know, but boy, if any of the boys are taking an Uber tonight, please.
Keep your damn mouth shut. Just shut up, please.
Please, Uber. My shirt is on Twitter. Okay.
Never take a lift.
All right. Well, let's get into some other fun, shall we?
Have the goddamn common courtesy to give him a reach around. Woo!
So it is time to reach around the rest of the league and talk about what happened. Oh, boy. I'm so disappointed in you, St. Louis. Come on, man. You lose in overtime to the Jets and let Winnipeg tie up the series. You were like my dark horse, St. Louis. I was all about Jordan Winnington. Damn it. So the Jets tie it up 2-1, a final in overtime. Oh, so what a bummer. Shifley scores for the Jets, Tarasenko for the Blues. Connor gets it in the OT to put the Jets up 2-1 in OT. And now the game we all want to talk about.
Let's talk.
Oh, let me get my brooms out. Oh, so broom, much sweep. Wow. The Islanders. We start with the Islanders. 3-1 victors. Leonard, who almost dropped one of the Penguins in this game, by the way. Leonard gets the win. Murray loses 4 straight. Everly, Nelson, and Bailey score for your Isles. I took this one. I'm not going to lie. I didn't take it in a sweep, but in my bracket, I took the Islanders. I didn't realize that, like, Sidney Crosby wasn't playing this round. Had I known, I might have taken it in a sweep. But, I mean, Sidney Crosby in 4 games, 1 assist, and that assist came in today's game. So, sucks to be you right now, Pittsburgh. Just saying. You go cry in your back-to-back cups.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. I'm so rooting for the Islanders, the John Tavares-less Islanders. How great is this story? How great would it be if the Islanders and the Maple Leafs faced each other in these playoffs? Oh my God, the storylines.
Yeah, that would definitely get a lot of really good ratings in Canada.
Oh, I would love that. And you know what? I'm taking the Islanders in that series, by the way, kids.
I think if you're any good as an American, you should take the Islanders over the yeah. Oh. That's patriotism right there.
And we'll probably do a little more Sharks talk here in a minute. But let's talk about the other elephant in the room. Ladies and gentlemen, we watched history today, okay? History. For the first time ever in the NHL, the President's Trophy winner was swept in the first round. And if I remember correctly, if you went to Vegas or some sort of sports book, if you'd laid, I think it was $380 on the Blue Jackets to sweep, it paid off $1 million.
Oh,
it was something like that. Maybe it was like $3,800 or something. Either way, the payout was spectacular if you took that. Just the fact that if you like were drunk and you're like, oh, you know what? I'm gonna put like $100 on the Jackets to sweep just because the odds are so great. Oh, you are doing really well right now. Just saying. And remember, we're talking about a Blue Jacket squad. First off, they completely decimated the Lightning. And like at one point, I believe it was like 2-1 2-1 for the Jackets over the Lightning, or maybe it was 3-1. And then the Lightning came back 3-2. Either way, like for a half a second, it was almost close. And then the Jackets just blew it wide open. I'm not even going to go through the goals because there was 10 of them scored in this game. But holy hell, we're talking about, you know, 62 games Tampa scored. We're talking about a Blue Jackets team that was looking at like selling off so many pieces. Remember all the talk about Bredman? Panarin was going to, we didn't know where he was going to end up, but it was so much trade talk swirling around him. There was so much trade talk swirling around Bobrovsky. And what does he come out to do? Bobrovsky's like, oh, wait, my contract's up. Hold my beer. Watch this.
Contractors are like that, though.
Oh, no. This is a contract year on a whole new level, my friend. I mean, are you kidding me? You get contract year and you stone 62-game winner President's Trophy? Are you kidding me?
That's a Liberace performance. He did that on purpose. He's like, oh, look at how salty and greasy I am.
I look forward to the next series where there's a candelabra right above the net behind Bobrovsky. Full blown.
Out with like a big cape with like a big fur cape.
The rings, the glitter, everything. Oh, I need that. I need that in my life.
Yes, please.
I just want to, and then like the first like post game interview with Bobrovsky. I wish my brother George was here. Oh, I need this in my life. I need this in my life. Oh my God.
This needs to exist.
Good things used to not happen to Torts. I don't know what happened, but good things are happening to Torts, my friends. Yeah. We will see what in the hell happens tomorrow. We got three games for you on tap. Maple Leafs and Bruins. How great is that shaping up to be? Everybody thought, you know, the Leafs might cave with no Kadri. Not sure what was going to go on there. And, oh, wait a minute. You get this kid sliding in there and just killing it. So that looks to be really good at Toronto, right? So Toronto has the opportunity to really take, you know, to put their foot on the throats of Boston, which I, of course, love. So come on. I want Marlowe to get the game winner tomorrow. Come on. You can do it, man.
I'm not on Team Marlowe.
Well, I'm, you know, any post shark at this point, because I don't have a lot of hope for the Sharks right now. But no, it'll probably be Marner with the game winner in that one. Then you get Stars Predators. I'm not gonna lie, I've been kind of bored with this series. Right now, the Preds have a 2-1 lead. I don't know, but game four tomorrow in Dallas, I can see that one going seven and just like the home team winning everything from here on out, whatever. All right. Yeah. Let it go. Say it on Pucknologist, pal. And then the other stunner.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Shorthanded Long Beach native Matt Nieto and the Colorado Avalanche, the 2-1 lead over the Calgary Flames, the West winning Calgary Flames. And who knew Matt Nieto was the secret weapon on the penalty kill? Two shorthanded goals for Mr. Long Beach. Unreal. Unreal. If he gets a third one tomorrow, I will buy Hockey Jerk a Matt Nieto jersey. I'm telling you right now. It'll probably be Nate McKinnon, but still. But anyway, those are your games that are on tap tomorrow. So that's it for the reach around. We put that one to bed. We don't really have time. San Jose Barracuda are starting things up shortly. I have no notes on them right now. I just know they're playing the Gulls, and it's going to be five games. First two in San Diego. Next three are in San Jose. Fun fact, though, about that. I don't know if you've been paying attention to the Teal Town USA website or to our Twitter, but strange things are afoot happening in just outside of downtown San Jose, right around, what is it, the corners of 10th Street and what's that cross street, Alum or something? What is it?
10th and
Alum.
What?
Or Humboldt? Is it Humboldt? 10th and Humboldt? Either way, the cross street of where Solar for America Ice is.
Oh, it's...
Doesn't matter.
Then I want to say like Arden or Eden.
Thought it was Humboldt. Oh no, Humboldt's the next one. Okay, so we're going way off topic.
Alma, thank you,
Alma. There you go. How can we watch the CUDA games? AHL.TV or fly to San Diego and fly to San Jose. That's all I can tell you. So anyway. It looks as though the Sharks are trying to build themselves two new sheets of ice, including a new arena for the San Jose Barracuda that would seat, I believe, conservatively about 4,200. So it's going to be a smaller arena, but it's going to be one that fans can actually pack. So that would be amazing. What ties into that, too, is there will be a new parking structure that would be part of this. And, hello, if you're a baseball fan, I watch a little baseball from time to time. The San Jose Giants, who are in desperate need of a new ballpark after playing at Municipal Stadium since the beginning of time, they would get a new ballpark about a block down the road as well. So everybody benefits. And to be honest, this is something that I think we all talked about on here a couple years ago, where it's like, how do the Barracuda and the Sharks not work with the Giants to get something more for the CUDA, but also get the Giants a new facility. Well, lo and behold, I guess San Jose State had to get involved. So all I know is in about 3 years, things are going to be looking real interesting over at Solar for America. More ice, the Barracuda get their own, you know, their own barn, which would be just fantastic. I'm assuming Barracuda networks are going to have nothing to do with it, but who cares? But that's the fun part on tap. And I think that might be about it. Solar Ice of America. Yeah, they'll probably change their name to
American Solar for Ice.
Yeah, no, I like it. No, they're going to change their names to the San Jose Solar Bears.
The San Jose for Solar Ice America. American Solar Ice for.
Yeah. I like tear down Happy Hollow and make that another thing. Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with that. I wouldn't have a problem with that at all. So I think we can probably wrap this one up, kids. Thanks very much for watching. Again, for those of you who are local, remember there will be a watch or no, actually, is there a watch party for Game 5? I'm trying to remember. I thought, if I remember correctly, I thought I'd heard something that there's obviously the game is happening inside the building. Hello, they want all the butts in there. But I thought there was also talk about some sort of watch thing either on Autumn Street where they would just can maintain the rally through the game, or unless there's something, there is the street rally, of course, which has happened for all games. So anyway, that'll be happening again, half hour early start, 7 o'clock. So there you go. That's what's happening. That is what is on tap for Thursday, Game 5, Vegas, San Jose. Do or die, people. Win or go home. So with that, again, do us a favor. Hit the subscribe button. We really appreciate it. Share it with your friends. Let everybody know that we go live after every single Sharks game. We also have a weekly wrap show, although right now it's the roundup show. So the Pucknologists will be coming at you as soon as round one is wrapped up. Might go a little bit earlier if the Sharks end their season a little earlier than we're hoping, but we'll see. But with that, Rocket, please let the people know where they can find you on the social media if they feel so inclined.
No, I'm kidding. Hi, my name is Rocket Backhander. You can check me out on Twitter. Trying not to be too salty, but just sort of sideways. I get sideways about hockey. Yeah. It's capital R, capital B, little Backhander 76. That's R Backhander 76 on the Twitter. Or you can check out my photographic representations of teal life here in San Jose and also my Loki pitch to try to get you to buy flooring from me. So check me out, Rocket Backhander, one word, on Instagram, AJ.
Are you really hawking flooring on here? Is that what we're doing?
There are three different styles of teal carpeting that are readily available if you just come into the showroom.
Okay, you've piqued my interest.
Levels of padding to go underneath.
Now you've piqued my interest. I'm just saying. I'm curious now. So I am AJ underscore strong on the Twitter machine, on the Instagram, also throwing up some instas, as is Rock, as is Eric. We're all contributing to the Teal Town Instagram, so check us out there. We're on Facebook. We try to pay attention to it, but you know, Facebook is so MySpace. I think that is probably about it for us tonight. Again, thank you very much for joining. Again, hit the subscribe button, tell a friend about this. We'd really appreciate it. Growing it organically, people. That's what we do here. So with that, we bid you all a very fun evening. Hope you have do what you can with the rest of your night. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, but, you know what? Keep calm. Chive on. Everybody breathe. Have a cocktail. We're all good here. Again, thanks for joining. We're out of here, people. Keep it real. Keep it teal. Keep it real, too.